This is Rain Hamcast number 50, voiced by Will Rogers, K5WLR, and posted September 18th, 2021, on the rainreport.com and on the YouTube Rain Report channel. See the link on the rainreport.com main menu. Chances are you either are or were a scanner listener, perhaps more then than now. So what has happened to the art of scanning? And what has happened to scanners in recent years? We'll delve into the answers in Scanners Then and Now here in Rain Hamcast number 50 and number 51 with Rich Carlson, N9JIG, a longtime scanner user, 50 plus years, and currently works as the customer support manager for Scanner Master. He is retired from a suburban Chicago police department where he was the commander of the 911 communication system, as well as other duties. He is also part of the Uniden Scanner Beta Test Team and is a host of the weekly Scanner Guys live YouTube show. Rains Hapali, KC9RP, spoke with Rich a few weeks back.
How did scanners come about?
Scanners came out probably in the 60s. Before that, they had tunable receivers where they would have a crystal socket. And you could put a crystal in there to get a more precise frequency selection. And then a couple of them started putting in a couple of crystal sockets with a little switch where you could switch between channels. And then somebody came up with the idea where you could actually scan between those and stop on an active channel, because a lot of two-way radios, they don't talk all the time. They only talk occasionally. So if you could scan through those channels rapidly and stop on the first available conversation. And they were pretty much developed into the 60s and into the 70s. And they started off with the two or four channels, and then they became eight channels, and then 10 channels and 16. And then eventually the most channels on a crystal scanner that I know of was 20. You would spend more money on crystals than you would on the scanner. At the time, when you were spending $5 or $8 a piece for the crystals, for 20 channels, you're talking $110, $120, $140 for crystals on a scanner that you probably paid $100 for.
Who put out the first scanner commercially?
I don't know which company came out first, but there were several companies that were preeminent back in the 60s. Bearcat, which was not part of Uniden at the time. It was actually a company called Electra, and Regency, which were both out of Indianapolis, and some of the same people were from both companies. And they were the two big ones. They were the General Motors and Ford of the 1960s scanner industry, but there were many other companies, Craig, Panasonic, Tenelec, and probably 50 or so different companies that made scanners back then. But eventually the companies went out of business, they merged, and you ended up with the big two were Regency and Uniden, then Radio Shack got into it. Now you had three main manufacturers.
Commercially, who sold the most scanners in those years?
Back then, you can get them in a lot of places. Radio Shack, of course, was where most people would get their scanners retail. You could also pick them up at Montgomery Ward's and Sears and JCPenney's. They usually had private labeled scanners from either Regency or Bearcat. You could get them at different type of electronic stores. Back in the days, if you remember Olson Electronics and the old Lafayette stores, most cities had at least one scanner store around someplace. And of course, when the CB craze started, you can pick them up at any CB shop or later on ham radio stores like AES or Ericsson's.
The original scanners that came out covered 800 megahertz, am I right?
800 megahertz band actually came across late in the day. Scanner frequencies typically were in the 30 to 50 and 150 to 174 range. And then UHF came along a little bit later, and then was later extended. So it was 400 to 470, and then later on 470 to 520. 800 came along quite a bit later. It wasn't until the 80s where the 800 meg band came along. Originally, in the late 80s, when the programmable scanners that covered 800 megahertz became popular, the cellular band, which was at that time 870 through 890, was included in the scanners because there was no rules against it. It was in the 1990s that the federal government made it illegal to listen to cellular calls and then made it illegal to have cellular frequencies and scanners. You could get scanners, several models that could listen to cellular phone calls back in the day. There was a whole cottage industry on modifying scanners that didn't come with cellular to add cellular to them. And eventually, a couple things came to pass. Number one, the government mandated stricter controls on the scanners to prohibit the modification. And then what was actually more important was cellular went from analog to forms of digital that were not conducive to scanners. So it was that technology that pretty much stopped the ability to listen to cellular phone calls on a scanner.
The ECPA, the Electronic Communications and Privacy Act.
It was in the mid to late 80s. That was what made it illegal, but it kind of had the Streisand effect where it popularized the notion that you could listen to cellular phone calls, and it made it much more popular. If you want to make something popular, make a law against it. That's pretty much what happened. And then right after that, people that had these cellular capable scanners were all of a sudden able to sell them for big money because they could listen to cell phone calls, which was forbidden. So a scanner that you paid $400 for, you could sell for $500 or $600 used because it could pick up cellular.
Would it be accurate to say that the scanner market has been shrinking simply due to the fact that so much communications is going digital?
There has been several surges back and forth on scanners, and there have been several things that have been the death knell of scanners that really never came to pass. One of the first ones was the move to UHF T-band, which is the frequencies above 470, and original scanners weren't able to do that. Well, then the scanner manufacturers came up with scanners that could do 470, and that came back. And then it was the move to 800 megahertz. After a couple of years, scanner manufacturers came up with scanners that could do 800 or converters to make your old scanner do it. Then it was trunking, and that was going to be the death of scanning, but they came out with trunking scanners. And then it was digital, and now we have digital scanners. I think the one that is the current one, and I think this might actually be much more effective at killing or reducing the scanner hobby, is encryption. Because not only is it illegal to manufacture a scanner that could break encryption, it's technically not feasible, especially at a consumer level. The type of encryption most police and fire agencies that have it are using today requires CIA-level technology to break. And without having the proper equipment and codes, Joe Blow with a scanner is not going to get past the encryption.
So what does the scanner manufacturer do in that situation?
Well, in a lot of areas where they have heavy encryption, people there find something else to listen to. And it isn't just police and fire that use two-way radios that you can listen to on a scanner. Your street department, your public works department, the businesses, railroads, and aircraft, which are huge targets for scanner listeners. The racing crowd, one of the tools of many race fans is a scanner. And there's a whole industry that the NASCAR and other racing circuits to provide scanner for rent at big races and scanner frequency lists and such. And every good rail fan has got a scanner in his camera bag.
You've latched on to Rain Hamcast number 50, Scanners Then and Now, a two-part conversation with Rich Carlson, N9JIG, a longtime scanner user. Rich currently works as the customer support manager for Scanner Master. We'll continue Hapali KC9RP's conversation with Rich after you identify your station. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the RAIN Hamcast
from www.therainreport.com.
Interesting that radio companies like C-Train puts out an AM-FM radio that also will cover 2-meter ham frequencies, weather, and even aviation. Those don't scan at all, though, do they?
I don't know if the C-Train radios do. For weather alerts, you really don't scan the weather channels because they transmit all the time. So it's impossible to really scan them. You can monitor them, but obviously you're not going to scan them because they're transmitting all the time. But aviation, yeah, you might have 5 or 10 or 20 channels to listen to in an airport. So you would want to have a scanner for that. But the Sea Crane radios are receivers versus scanners. You can listen to one channel at a time. For some people, that's exactly what they're looking for.
There are those who have said that the StarCom digital system is what's going to put scanners out of business.
It isn't the StarCom system itself, which is very easily monitored with a digital capable scanner. It's when users of StarCom go to encryption, which makes it impossible to listen to. Going to StarCom itself actually makes it easier for scanners to listen to the communications and to gather information on the user, since most current scanners can find new talk groups and even show the radio IDs and such a digital trunking system. It's when they switch to encryption, which makes it difficult or impossible for scanner enthusiasts to listen to the system. The StarCom system itself was kind of a boon to the scanner hobby and to scanner manufacturers and retailers, because now everybody had to go out and buy new scanners in order to hear it. But when agencies started to go encrypted, now you've lost a lot of your targets.
On the other hand, as I recall, the StarCom system, is that funded by the government?
The StarCom system in Illinois is relatively unique in that it's actually owned, maintained, and operated by Motorola. And the state of Illinois is the primary customer, and it is open to any governmental agency in the state of Illinois that wants to use it. You buy the radio, and then you buy the airtime for those particular radios. It's also open to utilities and certain private industrial concerns like the railroad police or private universities that have a public safety factor to their communication. But the system itself is unusual in that it's owned by Motorola instead of owned directly by governmental agencies like most of these big statewide systems.
Doesn't the government give grants for departments to have the StarCom system, but that the rub comes in having to pay the monthly air charges?
Yeah, there's been several grant programs by several different government agencies, federal, state, county, and local, for various aspects of the StarCom system. One of the more popular was done by ILEAS and ITTF, the Law Enforcement Assistant and the Illinois Terror Task Force, where they would give agencies that join the system one or two or sometimes additional free radios. And if they were used only on the state mutual aid talk groups, there was no monthly charge. But if you wanted to use those for routine or day-to-day communications, then you would pay the monthly fee. There was some UASI grants based from the federal government, but then administered at the county level, at least in Cook County, where they did something very similar. They gave every public safety agency in the county that wanted them two or more radios to communicate, again, on the StarCom statewide mutual aid channels, as well as the county radio channels when Cook County Sheriff went to the StarCom system. And many agencies in Cook County took advantage of that. But if they wanted to use it for their day-to-day communications, they then had to pay airtime charges. But for mutual aid-only purposes, then there was no monthly air charge fee.
And that concludes our first of two excerpts from a summer 2021 conversation with Rich Carlson, NIJIG, a longtime scanner user and current customer support manager for Scanner Master. Rich is retired from a suburban Chicago police department, where he was the commander of the 911 communication system, as well as other duties. He is also part of the Unit and Scanner beta test team and host of the weekly Scanner Guys live YouTube show, 7 p.m. Wednesday Central Daylight Time. We'll conclude Hap Holly KC9RP scanner discussion with Rich next time in Rainham Cast number 51, due to be posted October 5th, 2021. The Rainham Cast is produced by Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly KC9RP. It is copyright 1985-2021, Rain. All rights are reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. Permission is hereby granted for you to download, share, post, and transmit this bi-weekly hamcast over amateur radio in its entirety. Your feedback and support for this hamcast are welcome on the RainReport.com. YouTube technical assistance, Tom Shimizu, N9JDI. Very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming.